This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
A waste of time for college football programs.
How bad has it gotten with the bowl system? And there's a rat in the Lima family, and for once, it's not me.
It's all coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
I don't get why
he was the best guy around. We're on. We are on.
I'm annoyed.
We are on.
Something.
You didn't pick up the...
What three? Murder?
No, dummy. He was the best guy around.
What does he say then?
No, God. The reporter goes, what about the people he murdered? Here, you do it. Three, two, one. We're brought to you by Extend. 3, 2, 1.
He was the best guy around.
What about the people he murdered?
What murder? So quick how he gets in there with it.
What murder? Oh, man.
Ken and I have taken that clip.
I got apple stuff all over me.
Apple turnover.
Tasty.
That's what you get, which you did put in the microwave, which is a treat.
Oh, my God.
As Isabella June Lima would say, oh, a tasty treat.
She says
tasty
that?
Tasty treat. And sometimes she says special treat, special treat.
That's weird. It's a weird thing to say. I'm kidding. What
she
murder?
Says, she says tasty treat.
Yes, and Izzy also goes, what murder? You know what? We can't watch the news with her anymore. We can't watch. Sorry, Ken. Can't watch you. Can't watch the news.
That's fine.
We can't do anything.
Man. I assumed you didn't watch me anyway.
We watch. Wow. We watch everybody. Honestly, we try to watch everybody.
We can't watch the news anymore.
Cuomo.
What murder? We do. We will try to watch Cuomo too. We try try to watch Garrett Bush on Dan Abrams. Whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So we can't watch anymore. And I want to know if other parents are having this, or they just don't care. She's mimicking stuff, okay? She's in that phase. You guys remember this with your kids.
Eli still does that.
So I said crappy, you know, the other week, and I said another word when Sarah wasn't around.
Good.
She said it 2 seconds later.
Good.
We can't have sex trafficking stories on the news.
Because she'll say sex trafficking.
But she can ask about it now. It's not just that she's mimicking to mimic. She will say, that girl, we had the JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Just the trailer. Because we won't watch any of the shows with her around. And she had, what, I don't know if this is intuition or the way they made her look. She goes, that girl's sad. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God. I don't want to watch anything around her.
I understand. Marley used to walk around and go, four dead in Abu Ghraib.
Oh, my God.
What did you have to do with that, Daddy?
Owen. Yeah, he's allowed to say he's a veteran.
That's the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veteran.
But we can't watch local news anymore.
I is some of the things that they have they've done? Eli does a lot of it. Eli does a lot of the mimicry.
The mimicking?
Yeah. Jonah has done a little bit of it. Axel's done very little. I remember when I was a kid, we used to watch NBC Nightly News every night during dinner. And they did a story on lesbians, and I'm not sure what it was, but I like.
Was it one
I
of the, waited till we made up Ryan Williams stories?
I waited till we went to bed. Ooh, did you hit your knee there? Yeah, I waited till we went to bed, and my dad used to tuck me in every night, and I waited and I waited. I didn't ask him. I don't know why I didn't ask him before. And Dad was tucking me in. I remember Mom was in the doorway, and I go, "Dad," he goes, "What?" And I go, "What is a lesbian?" And it's like it happened earlier today. It's like my dad tucked me into bed last night, and my dad was like, it's girls who like other girls. And I looked at my dad and go, "Why do girls like other girls?" He's like, "You'll know someday. Good night." And that was the end of it. That was the end of the conversation.
But you remembered.
I remember it. I remember it succinctly.
What if he would have said
another thing?
He would have said, "In 2024, it's a very fluid situation."
Roseanne, it was erections. I asked what erections were.
Yeah.
Because we were watching Roseanne, yeah. And there was a scene where DJ didn't want to get up in class, and it was because he was having erections, and I had asked my dad what that was, and he was like,
"Why we cautioned our coworkers, our younger coworkers, to not wear sweatpants to work."
My dad just full on told me he did not want to tell me. He's like, "I don't want to talk about it now."
Yeah.
And so, okay. And what was the other one? There was another one that was a little risque. Not risque, but just like things you don't want to have to explain to your kid. I forget what the other one was. But it was like there were certain things I do remember as a child I had to do.
Well, and I also.
What murder?
I also, in the kitchen, like the other day, anytime I drop something, it's instant profanity. I know you don't realize that I do that.
Yeah.
Just an annoyance, and then I'll laugh about it, like how stupid. Well, now I've got somebody in the other room who now is shouting what I just said out. Like, she thinks it's funny. She knows I'm irritated.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I need is her to say that around Sarah. That's the last thing. And you know what's going to happen. I mean, Kenny, I've been appalled at your lack of filter around your kids for basically 9 years now.
Yeah, you have.
I told you yesterday, Anthony, this is where the ice cream bribes start, man.
You're right. That's a pro tip.
It starts with you go through the drive-thru and you just get a little cheap cone. You get a cone. She gets a cone. You go, you know what? Ice cream's fun, right? And she goes, "Yeah, ice cream's fun." And then you go, "That's cool. That's just me. That's that's a dad and Izzy thing." And
yeah, well, I could tell you what's happening, right? Because I told Owen this the other day. I run a very different ship than Sarah does.
Yeah.
Okay?
Oh, I get that.
My wife is all in. Her full amount of time is devoted. Her attention span is devoted to the kids, around the kids. I get a little loose. I get a couple tweets, I get a couple texts, and I will have gone 20 minutes without even acknowledging my kids.
It happens.
And so they fall down, go boom.
It happens.
Well, what's happening right now is Izzy has a fall down, go boom, and if it's a bad one, it comes up again at the end of the night in front of Sarah. Like, "I'm sorry." She'll apologize, and Sarah goes, "For what?"
Oh,
and
she
goes,
"No."
"Hit head," screamed. Like, then Sarah goes, "What do you mean you hit your head? Earlier, basketball." Oh, like, you're giving away everything. We got a rat. We got a rat inside the house right now. And Sarah knows, what have I told you about being distracted? What did I tell you about your phone? And it's like I got a mom that is, you know, watching my every move because I'm not watching my kids' every move.
That's incredible. There's always times where I just, you know, you get distracted, you start looking at your phone. I can only stare at them for so long.
Yeah, sorry, my kids aren't that interesting.
No,
all
they're
the
not.
Time.
They're not.
I'm amazed that my wife can sit there and run over to help every second. That's just not me.
I'm not interested in
and
that.
And
no.
Clearly, it's not. They say, "Oh, when you have a kid, it'll change." It didn't. I'm still selfish. I'm still distracted. It didn't get. It got better. Like, I'm not going to leave my kids in the sweltering heat in the car. I don't even understand how that's possible,
but it clearly happens. But I don't like to talk about that sort of thing because the reason is that every story you're going, how do you forget that? How do you forget your kids in the car? The people who leave their kids in the car, they said the same thing. They said the exact same thing.
Right.
So now that you have most cars have a reminder ding.
Yeah, I turn those off. I
tell you to check the. And there you go. They tell you to check the back seat, things like that.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, it's hard to do with a brand new Jeep Grand Cherokee from Junction Auto.
Well done. Yeah, well said. I get very weird about saying that stuff.
Yeah,
you could say whatever, but I'm just saying. What was I going to bring up? Oh, you want to bring up the MAC ratings.
I have some numbers. So typically Baskin and Phelps try to claim to be the preeminent Mid-American Conference show in the country.
Great, they can have that
crown.
Well,
I'm sick and tired of it, because if I wanted to be, we would be.
Wait. We have a MAC grad and one of the voices of MAC football. Right. I mean, come on.
You know what?
And a guy that sometimes
one of the sound
is employed.
Engineers. Yeah.
They don't have a lot. Let them have it. That's okay. Right, that's fine.
So this article came out that said Northern Illinois was the 63rd most watched football team in 2024, directly ahead of Vanderbilt.
Wow.
And Big 12 Cincinnati. So turns out we have the numbers. Very conclusive list of numbers. MAC viewership numbers. All right, Owen.
Yes.
Obviously, NIU was the most watched, and I think we know why, right?
They played
Notre Dame.
Uh-huh. They had the big upset early, right?
They played Notre Dame, so these numbers can be skewed a little bit by maybe one or two games out of conference.
Yeah.
Any guesses as to who was dead last in the MAC?
Kent State.
Did surprisingly better than you would think.
Really?
Yeah.
Ball State.
They were 121st in college football and second last in the MAC.
Okay.
Damn it.
Buffalo.
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow. Well done.
And the crazy thing is, Buffalo actually had a decent season. They had some big wins.
That town's not big enough for two football teams.
It's true.
I don't know how
that's
they
why
do
Cleveland
it.
State doesn't have a football team. That's they know right. They couldn't compete with the Browns.
Yeah, I'm looking at Buffalo's schedule. So their big out-of-conference games were Missouri and UConn.
Yeah.
Boy, they got slaughtered by UConn. So that had something to do with it. Do you have any idea, Kenny, where the Akron Zipperoos...
In the MAC. How many teams are in the MAC? 12?
Yeah, and a 13th coming. We'll get to the 13th team here in just a second.
13th is UMass.
Yep.
Out of 12 teams, I want to guess that these Zips are 10th.
No. They were second.
No!
So Northern Illinois had 441,000.
I count for 400,000?
440 of them were during the Notre Dame
game.
Well,
that's what I mean. How are they coming up with this?
Akron
played Ohio State.
Yeah.
So here it says Akron had 324,000. But I know that Ohio State-Akron game had over a million at one point. Like,
oh,
I don't
my
understand.
God.
Well, I watched him with 100.
Is that the average?
Yeah, but would it be an average for the whole year? Are they only counting the network games? Either way, Akron is 74th in the country, and number two, Miami of Ohio, number three, 82, Bowling Green, Eastern Michigan, Toledo. Anyway, Kent State, 113th, and they are, 10th? So, bonus, UMass coming in, 23,000 they had this year, 126th. There is your MAC report.
Let me see your phone. Show it to me. I don't want to touch it. Show it to me. 23,000 watched, 9,000 watched MAC games, or for the Buffalo Bulls.
I guess there's a bigger question where this is all going with conferences like this.
Because
right now, we can be honest, it's a friends and family.
It should be an FCS conference is what it should be.
It's mostly a friends and family and gamblers.
Way
more people, by the way, gamble on the MAC than they do a lot of these other conferences that you may not necessarily be paying attention
to. And I still think they will. Just make it, first off, nobody does any, we are going to bastardize the bowl game so much more than they're already bastardized.
Yeah.
And this is what I just, from terms of competition and fun, you know, like the money, you heard about Mountain West going after Toledo and Northern Illinois, and they both backed out. They're like, it doesn't make, because I think even the money doesn't make sense with the travel.
Yeah. They're already on shoestring budgets.
They're already on very tight budgets, so it doesn't even matter. That's why, like, guys, you're going to see, we are on our way to super conferencing. They've already jacked up the prices for teams that want to go D1. It's $5 million now. They've jacked up the price for teams that want to go D1 or FBS.
How does that work?
What FBS. Do you mean? Like, it's a buy-in with the NCAA because they're trying to dissuade teams. Like, Kennesaw State got into FCS, and they're not competitive.
I think Western Illinois FBS, was another
and they're not one competitive. Yeah, these schools want to get into FBS. Because they all know that they got to try to grab the TV money while they can. But you're going to run out of TV money at some point. The Big Ten and the SEC are going to take all of it, and there's going to be very little left. And the CW, Turner, oh, yes, but they're not going to offer you some of the things of what you think you're going to get. So if you're getting an $800,000 check, I think you're going to have to have a conversation of, does it do us better to in turn be FCS and then hopefully have a competitive program and get to the playoffs and then do that? Like, I think it's North Dakota State. Would I really care about North Dakota State at all if they were in the Mountain West? No, I would not. Right. Because they probably more than likely would not be that competitive of a program like Idaho was when Idaho was FBS.
Right.
And then Idaho dropped. Idaho is a playoff team now. Amazing how that happens. And they have people who actually go to their games to watch.
Packed.
They actually go to that dome to watch. The Kibby Dome? I'm going to say it's a Kibby Dome. Boy, if I know that, I'm a sicko. Look that up. They go to the Kibby Dome to watch. I think it's Kibby Dome. They go and they pack those stadiums, as you know, and they watch these teams. They do the same in North Dakota State. So, you know, you're going to have to start making a decision on, do we want to have people who actually go to these games and then take a little less money on the revenue on the television side? Can we make it back up? And can we still have a program that somehow gets close? It won't approach the black, but somehow gets as close as you can. Owen's giving me a shaking head. I didn't get it right.
It is the P1 FCU Kibby Dome.
Yeah, damn it. Let's go, baby. Let's go. I know college football, damn it.
Was that one of those where, out of nowhere, like, once every 3 years, game day, just to...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just to
the
show.
Fargo Dome.
No, they go to the Fargo
there.
Dome for it.
They can go somewhere
and
different.
So that one year they were at the Main Street of Fargo, right?
Having a guy that's just, I'm a Fargo aficionado.
Yeah, he is. He's
point.
Been there.
The Fargo been there. Dome, an immaculate venue to watch a college football game or to watch 200 high schoolers wrestle each other at one time. It's amazing. This Kibby Dome here, it pales in comparison.
To the Fargo Dome?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like the bubble structure that they have over there.
No, it looks like a giant, it looks like a cow palace is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't like the seats. The seats are multicolored. Like, I was like, can't you guys get Idaho colored seats?
Now, remember, Dan Gilbert, that was
Idaho State plays in a dome as well.
Significant expense to change over the seats at the Gund Arena back in the day.
Let me take a guess here. You know, I don't have my phone in my hand. The Idaho State Dome is the Hoyt Dome.
All right, let me go to it.
Or Hoyt Arena, one of the two. I want to say it's Hoyt.
So how did you gain such a mastery of this information?
Because I don't care about other things in my life. I don't care about my children's grades. I care about where Idaho Vandal football is played. What makes it even sicker, guys, I don't gamble. You can go ahead and look it up. I don't gamble.
It's the database. We can look up posts of whether they gamble.
The Idaho State football team plays in the ICCU Dome.
Oh.
They probably changed the name.
What I'm looking for.
Was it formerly called something else? I thought it was called something with an H. That's where we're at in the podcast now. We're looking up where Idaho's.
The former names are the ASISU Mini Dome. That was from 1970 to 1988.
All these domes.
And then from 1988 to 2023, it was the Holt Arena.
Holt, son of a gun.
Yeah, there you go. You were
Holt,
there.
Damn it. Damn, I got it. Well, I got to go back to the drawing board.
And, of course, if you want to get there, you just got to take Pocatello Regional Transit.
Of course.
I'll get you
one right of my
Pocatello,
faves.
Idaho. I flew over Idaho on the way to Seattle, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm looking at Idaho right now. Folks, this is Idaho. America is so vast.
Oh,
what a country.
Oh, yeah, they use that soft top matrix AstroTurf. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that it's time. Don't let Jeremy Guy hear this.
Okay, Jeremy Guy, close
your eyes. I just think it's FCS time for so many of these programs. And, hey, you guys want to hold out as long as you can, fine. I don't know, man. Like, Akron won 4 games this year, and I was happy. I'm like, man, I just see a program like Akron. You have a beautiful stadium. Can you, if we were FCS, could, and you play your game, if you were FCS, could you go out and get Youngstown State kids who would go to Youngstown State and instead take them to Akron? Wouldn't that be competition? You could play for the Steel Tire again between you and Youngstown State. That used to be a rivalry. Yeah. Little people know that. Little do people know that.
Look, I every time I'm in that football stadium and I look out at all the improvements that Akron has made on that campus, and I think to myself, what, their enrollment's going down?
13,000.
How is this possible?
I don't know.
This place looks awesome. I'm being dead serious. I'm not trying to be a mouthpiece. I'm telling you that I'm blown away by all that they've done to that campus, to that area. Obviously, the football stadium is the nicest in the MAC by far. It is like exponentially better than anything else in that conference. And then I think to myself, what are they getting out of football?
I don't know.
What are they getting out of it?
I don't know.
What does it do for them? And I think it's a matter of time. I don't know that the Ohio States of the world are ever going to schedule when all this gets straightened out. Right now, it's a wild, wild west. 10 years from now, isn't Ohio State just going to play like a professional schedule?
Well, you said that, but there's so many people who look at it and go, why would I, what's the point? Like, don't they have Texas on the schedule this coming year?
Yeah.
And they go, why do I need to schedule Texas
anymore?
So
that's right,
like,
now.
Like with what Indiana's done, yes, where they got out of a game.
But right now, there's still not a governing body. There still is not a normalizing of the schedules, which I think this is all leading to. Because why right now is Indiana in the playoff? Does anybody think Indiana is one of the best 12 teams in the country? Of course not.
Because their coach went out and said, Google me.
Well, and I did.
He kind of, you know, backed it up afterwards.
Yeah.
They had a great year.
But we've discussed this so often.
He's the best story in college football.
And I wonder if a school's like Ohio, but I wonder if a school like Akron is asking, let me ask you this. Are they wondering to themselves, thinking to themselves, all right, let's see if there's a lot of schools like Indiana who have that thought, because that would be my first fear, is that I don't need to bring in Akron anymore. There's no more paycheck games. Well, if you can't have more paycheck games, like that's it. Like the $700,000 to $1 million that you make to go to these games or more, now that's really changed.
Kenny, I think we're up to like $1.2 million.
But do you think
State made 1.3 for Tennessee?
If it's a 12 or even a 16 team playoff, I'm going to do what I can to stoke the fire and to make sure I'm in the playoff, because right now it's wins that matter.
Right.
Not even just quality wins. Like, quality wins, or wins in general, matter more than quality losses. So as long as it stays that way, and because it's a playoff, I think it has a chance to do that.
And I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to stay that way.
Okay, but if it doesn't, well then, but then the argument you made the other day doesn't hold water about Indiana and about the future of the playoff. Because, like, we're starting to do the whole debate on what's the best way to determine a champion. I don't want to do that. I want to look at the viability. We can do that on the air. I want to look here about the viability of FBS football with Kent, Akron, Toledo, who's a good program, a really good program.
They take it seriously, yeah.
OU is obviously a really good program. I wonder now, because they lost Frank Solich. Yeah. He retired, and then Tim Alban left. Like, now, like, you can't just guarantee you're going to keep the tradition up. They were terrible until Frank Solich took over. But, like, Miami of Ohio has been the cradle of coaches and been good. What is the viability there of FBS football as opposed to FCS football? Because, honestly, a place that's as football crazy as the state of Ohio, if all these programs were FCS, I think that these programs would definitely give run to North Dakota State, South Dakota, those programs who are in the center of the country that are dominating FCS football. They would make a run at the former James Madison, who's gone off to FBS and play a fun brand of football. But I want to compete for championships. Now that we have a playoff in college football, do we need effing bowl games? For like, I'd rather go to the playoffs at Akron and win the second round and try to get to an NCAA semifinal in FCS than win the potato bowl
against like schools. Yeah,
yes,
yeah. I kind of agree with you. And look, you're seeing it right now. Syracuse had this incredible year. Looks like Kyle McCord is
not
probably not going to play in the bowl game.
Great. Okay,
well, that's the end of these bowl games.
Yes.
Like that is, especially because you know what's going to happen with the playoffs. It's going to expand to 16. And you know what, Kenny? They're going to find a way to keep the conference championship game. They're going to do both. Like, I feel like they're going to find a way to continue to do both.
I don't know. I think it's such a bad product already. I looked at the conference. The conference championships games are fun, but there's just this huge loophole in it now that you can already see. We're like Alabama. I think Alabama got people if you want me to go full conspiracy theory, I think they put Alabama in there on purpose the week before the conference championship game to get the conversation started about expanding it to 16 teams so then they could, again, find a way to replace money with money. You vote for your, you not vote, but you have your conference standings, whatever tiebreaker it is. You win, like the old way they did it, you win a conference championship based on your regular season record, and then you can go down the line of tiebreakers if you want to. Or maybe you have co-champions, which I think is silly, but you could always do that. And then they play a 16-team playoff. And once they play a 16-team playoff, if they're doing the same thing, what the hell is the point of playing in some of these quote-unquote bowl games anymore when you could host and get revenue and try to get a fan base somehow excited in your area about going to a home playoff game? No one is. If Akron makes a bowl game, what was the last bowl game we were talking about years ago? Was it just the Potato Bowl, or was it ever the Boca Raton Bowl or something like that?
I thought that was the last one.
Well, you're not going. I wasn't like going to 2019? Idaho. I'm not going to Idaho. You know where you might get me to take my son? I'm not going to Idaho. I'm not going to Boise, which is a beautiful country.
It's gotta be Florida.
I'm not even going there unless I'm the most ardent Akron fan ever. Unless I'm actually a person who owns businesses and donates money to the school, and I'm not either of those things. So. If that's the case, then I'm going to go to an Akron home game instead of go to Florida and watch some bowl game. I did go to a bowl game. I went to the Motor City Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Which was indoors, but it was close. It was 2 hours away. 2.5, whatever.
They went to the Boca Bowl in 2017, yeah.
Okay.
They lost 50-3 to Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
Boca has a bowl game.
The Boca Bowl.
It's hilarious.
I'm not going to Boca Raton, Florida to watch the Boca Bowl and the Zips. I will watch the Zips in the first round of the FCS playoffs against I can't say App State anymore. They're
FBS. Look, remember ESPN.
It's Youngstown State, whatever.
I think ESPN still owns
Missouri State.
Well, in 1985, they played Rhode Island in the first round of the 1AA.
And I think that once you expand the FCS, see, and that's another thing that, you know what, you made a great point there. I don't think people realize how much of college football in general ESPN owns. Like I've told you this before, the NCAA is just another word for ESPN. Once the NCAA is somehow dismantled, it'll just be ESPN. They'll make up something else. Nobody wants to know that, but it's true. ESPN owns the majority of bowl games. They own the BCS playoffs. They own the actual playoffs. I know that there's other networks that got involved, but basically it's still under the ESPN umbrella. It's almost like they're renting time from them. And every entity needs a business. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing. But you know what? They're going to find a way to replace the money with making money. If it ever gets to a point where it's like, hey, corporate sponsors, these like Pop-Tarts, I assume that's an ESPN bowl. If Pop-Tarts goes, you know what? I want to be in the 16-team playoff. And you can't find it. Like I see this almost going the same way as NASCAR. Like, are we going to be able to find title sponsors for these races?
I'm amazed they have now.
I just can't have... It can't be the San Diego. It can't be the Holiday Bowl. It has to be the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. It can't just be the Holiday Bowl anymore. Like you have to have presenting sponsors. We have to make money on this thing. Can I have the first round of the FCS Championship Series or whatever you want to call it, presented by Pop-Tarts, presented by Discover? Can we do that? If that's a way to make more money, then that's what they'll do. But I know, as I say this, I know I'm missing a, I know I'm missing a critical piece, and I just can't think of it.
Threw me back to a time when I believe I remember watching a Holiday Bowl with Michigan and BYU.
I will tell you now, with the Holiday Bowl, that was always my thought. So I don't gamble. Not that I, which is always crazy because the first thing you say is, it's like Jim Gaffigan with drinking. I don't drink. Why? You don't drink? Why? You don't gamble? Why? Well, like, and if I go, well, I don't, I'm not a problem gambler. Are you sure you're not a problem gambler? I don't gamble. But I definitely have interest in the lines. And I would always tell my buddies, the Holiday Bowl before all this was always a team that was so GD disappointed they were not in a BCS game against an underdog. I said, if you want to make sure you win one bet, you're taking the underdog to cover and the Holiday Bowl. You're always taking the underdog to cover because there's a team there that is so damn, the Holiday Bowl is not the prize that they wanted. They wanted the Orange Bowl or whatever, and they got the Holiday Bowl. And then the underdog is going to go out there and they're going to give them hell and they're at least going to cover. That was always my thing. But again, you don't want the Holiday Bowl now. Like, you want something to make money. And guys, you could still get goodie bags to the kid, to the players, and have first round playoff, second round playoff, third round playoff championship. You can still do that and play 16 games. Play 16 games. Just like the pros do, but now the pros did. Now they play 17, so I don't have to make that conversation happen because the NFL did them a solid, and they're playing 17 because my whole argument was you couldn't do the full playoff because if you played 16 games when it was a 16-game NFL schedule, then I can sue you and say we played just as many games as the pros. We deserve to be paid. That was always we do just as much work as the pros. The NFL went to 17 games. What did the Ohio High School Athletic Association do? Now you play 16 games of high school football, which is way too effing many. I still think 15 is too many. I think the most high school football games, somewhere in the neighborhood of 13, maybe 14.
Yeah, we're playing way too
many. I'd be even willing to say 12, but you know, it is what it is. There's no way you're ever going to go that far back. I don't know if there's ever going to be a way you ever go back to 15 games where there's just eight teams in a region that make
the playoffs. How about in New York? There were 10 games. I mean, yeah. 10 games. And if you don't make the playoffs, like after seven games or whatever.
You reschedule.
Yeah, they start rescheduling.
Yeah, which is a weird way to do it. I think, boy, as an AD, that make your life hellish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To schedule those games and stuff, that's tough. But this is how I feel. But, you know, we can talk about it to death. I'm not sure. Is there anything you want to say that's just outrageous before we end the podcast?
Go back to the old BCS.